I am a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Amen. If we do that enough, some of y'all are going to actually learn the vision statement. Even though it's 7 years old, some of y'all are going to actually mess around and learn it. Or at least be able to figure out why we got this stuff on the wall. But it all has a point. So today I'm in, sometimes I'm in preach mode, sometimes I'm in teach mode. Today I'm in lawyer mode, where I want to lay out my case before you. It's something that we already know, but I want to lay it out well, so when you walk away and someone tries to tell you something that is unbiblical, you can lay it out the way I laid it out. So the series we are in is called Did the Bible Really Say That? The first one we talked about was You Can't Question God. And so we worked through that. And so part two of Did the Bible Really Say That? I just want to read what the Bible says, and then I'm going to put on my lawyer face, lawyer hat, and I'm going to start laying out the case for you. So I might get excited, and I might, but just stay with me. Somebody say, stay with them. All right. 1 Corinthians 14:33 from the King James Version. Read that.
For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints.
We've heard that. We understand that. Remember, and we've been also in a series in Bible study called How to Study the Bible. And so our first issue is we're starting in the middle of a chapter, but this is pretty self-explanatory. You can sometimes start in the middle of the Bible and still be okay. This is self-explanatory. God is not the author of confusion in the church. Okay, we get that. But let's go to the next verse. It gets a little rough.
Let your women keep silence in the churches.
Uh-oh, hold on. Wait a minute. Read it again.
Let your women keep silence in the churches.
Some husband said, I wish that applied to my house. Let your women keep silence in the churches. Read some more.
For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law.
It didn't get any better. The scripture got a little worse. Let's go to the next verse. Maybe it'll get a little lighter.
And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church.
Wow. It's a little rough. But I got a trick. Whenever I read something that's a little rough, put this up. Here's my trick. Let's try a more modern version. Whenever I read something in the King James Version, one of the older versions, okay, let me read it in something more modern and let's see what it says. So let's take the same thing and let's read it more modern. This is from the Christian Standard Bible. This was released in 2017. So this is about as modern as you can get. Read.
Since God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints.
Are we cool with that one? Let's go to that next one.
The women should be silent in the churches.
That's not getting any better.
For they are not permitted to speak, but are to submit themselves, as the law also says.
Hopefully the next verse is going to help me out.
If they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, since it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church.
Jesus, the new version got even rougher. Now this would be okay if all the people in the church was men and all the men are tithers. But in this day and age, you can't run no ministry without some woman somewhere. So my question is, going back to the question, did the Bible really say that? Yes, it absolutely did. We saw it. We read it. I put it on the screen. We saw it. And so the Bible just said it. But here's my first point. As a lawyer, just because the Bible said it doesn't mean that's what God's word said. Now, that's kind of an odd statement. Let me lay it down as a lawyer. Just because it said it in the Bible doesn't mean that's what God's word said. So I'm going to give you, there's a difference between ink and paper and pages and words on the Bible and God's word. God's word is the rhema and the logos. The rhema is his spirit-breathed word. The logos is what is written. You need both to understand. Now, here's how I think I can explain it very well. If I was in the summertime, I wear a t-shirt, and on the t-shirt it says, I'm cold. Now, when people see me, they're going to say, why are you saying you're cold in the middle of summer? But what if I say is, I'm saying I'm one of the coldest pastors to ever walk the face of the earth. Then you would think, oh, okay, he doesn't mean cold, temperature cold. He means cold something else. But based on what you read, if you don't get my understanding, you can read something and miss exactly what I'm saying. I can say I'm cool, and you're going to have to find out, are you meaning your cool temperature or your cool, calm, and collected? Because words, especially when they're translated and moved, sometimes you can't just take what you see. You got to know what God's word is saying. So one of the first things you have to do whenever you approach the word of God, you have to approach the word of God prayerfully. Because some of the worst things that have ever happened came straight from the pages of the Bible, because the Bible says we must rightly divide the word of truth. And if you can rightly divide something, you can wrongly divide something. There were slave masters taking scriptures, telling people this is what God wanted, but they weren't looking at the word of God. They were lifting stuff out of the Bible. Be careful of folk who will cherry pick stuff out of the Bible to tell you what you're supposed to do with your life. You're going to hell with them tattoos, because I read something in Leviticus. But do you know that the previous verse says you can't trim your edges? So if you get a hairline, you're going to hell for a hairline. Don't just lift something out of the pages of the Bible without putting it in its context, because what you'll do, you'll get the Bible, but you won't get God's word. And we're trying to give you and feed you God's word. So continue to lay my case out. All right, so the Bible is the word of God, but the Bible misinterpreted is not. The Bible consists of the word of God, but misinterpreted is not. Let me give it to you like this. Your blood pressure medicine is the medicine that can lower your blood pressure. But if you read the directions wrong and you apply the medicine wrong, instead of helping you, you can actually kill yourself. It's the right stuff in the bottle, but if you don't pay attention, you can mess stuff up. And let me apologize. It's a whole bunch of preachers that are messed people up. Because all they want to do is get up in their suit and hoop and holler and sweat, but they don't want to go behind closed doors and study and talk to God. I don't want you to be under a leader who will not study and will not rightly divide the word of truth, because if not, I could be preaching poison from the pulpit. All right, I don't have time to get in that, because I'm not talking about any other church, talking about right here. So I'm glad that we're based on the word of God. But let's continue to work through this. Look, another point I want to put up. Misinterpretation starts with missing information, which leads to misinformation. Oftentimes when people are misinformed, it's because there was missing information that they didn't know. And that's what causes the misinterpretation. So we can't get mad at all preachers, because some preachers didn't have the tools that we have today. Some of them were given the best that they knew, and God was using it. But we've got too much at our fingertips now to be giving out misinformation. I could be preaching something right now. Me and my dad was talking about a couple weeks ago. I could be preaching something right now. You can get on Google right while I'm preaching. Use the free Wi-Fi from the church and find out that what I'm talking about is wrong. I can't just get up and give anything in the age of information. It's too much stuff out there for us to be ignorant. There's too much at your fingertips for you to stay not knowing. Well, I'm broke because I didn't know they had this. I didn't know they had soup at the soup line. Listen, you're in the age of information, and some of the reason why you're where you are, let me say to you scripturally, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. In other words, the knowledge is available, but if you don't reach out and grab it and apply yourself to it, you're going to miss a lot. And especially when it comes to the Bible. Now, I'm getting ready to roll, but before I say that, I love social media. I enjoy it, but that cannot be the end all be all to your education. Just because it said it on social media does not mean it is fact. And please stop telling me Mark Zuckerberg is going to charge me for Facebook. Please, before you pass something on, please understand. Please look it up. Please check it out. It's okay to fact check people, because people will lie in your face and lie so good they'll make you believe it. I know he cheated on me, but when he came back, he said he was going buying me roses. And I know it's wrong, but he came with some raggedy looking roses, and maybe he was telling me. You know he's not telling you the truth, but you don't want to fact check because you want to believe it. Sometimes we want to believe a lie because believing a lie is easier. Now back to my original point. One of the reasons why this thing perpetuated the way it perpetuated, because men throughout history like to act like women are less than them. So when they find this in the verse, this is the kind of stuff they like to talk about. I remember when I did have hair and going to barbershops and people talking about all kinds of stuff. When they get on the Bible, they don't know what they're talking about, but they would bring up this one. The Bible says woman's supposed to be silent in the church. Man, shut up and get your hair cut. You don't know nothing about the scriptures, but we like to pick what fits us. But them same men didn't like to hear, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. No, they didn't want to hear none of that stuff. And so we got to be careful. So let's continue to work. Because I think I can explain it in such an unequivocal way where you understand. And I'm not going to take any other scriptures except for I'm going to stay right in the context of Corinthians. I only have one outside scripture because we can look to a whole bunch of other stuff to explain. But I want to say right within the same context, I want to explain to you, did the Bible really say that? Somebody say, roll, Pastor. Roll. All right. Now, this came straight from a Wikipedia type thing. These aren't my words. I'll let you know when it's back to my words. Since Paul was a Jew and had studied to be a Jewish teacher, it seems reasonable that he would communicate the same way other Jewish teachers communicated. So 1 Corinthians is a responsa. So I got this straight from the internet, even though I understood it. I want something that where I can explain it to you. But these are my words. I wanted to give you a definition of a responsa, and then I'll kind of explain myself. So put up the definition of responsa. Responsa, the etymology of is Latin, and responsa is plural of responsum, which means answer. Noun, responsa, plural, a body of written decisions and rulings given by legal scholars in response to questions addressed to them. So 1 Corinthians is a responsa. There are actually four letters written to the Corinthians or between Paul and Corinth. We only have privy to two of them. Well, we don't know if Paul wrote four or if when he wrote one, they wrote one. But what we do know is that it's laid out in responsa form. And it comes from both Greek and Latin. And basically what that is when Paul set up the church, he didn't stay there. And so after they got saved and they got born again and they're trying to do life without their leader, they had questions about what we're supposed to do. And so they wrote him with questions. And when he responds in 1 Corinthians, oftentimes he's responding to their question. So oftentimes what he's doing is he is repeating the question before he tells him. So, for example, Sister Krista comes to me and says, Brother Andre, I sent you an email and I asked you what color does Lady Devon like? Oh, I remember that. You said, what color does Lady Devon like? The color is purple. I repeated the question back to her. Then I responded. That's the idea of responsive. Give you another example. Sister Ruth, she has a business. And she has to be out of town. And she leaves one of her employees in town. And so the employee runs in something they don't know. So they text Sister Ruth, what do I do in this situation? And she responds with, this is what you should do. Now here it says legal scholars had decisions and rulings. So basically as they were setting up that church, they were asking Paul things and Paul was clearing things up for them so they knew how to move forward. Does that make sense? All right, going back to the other words of the internet, i.e., a response to questions submitted to Paul by the Corinth Christians. If we can figure out the questions the Corinthians were asking, we'll understand Paul's answer a little better. If we can look at 1 Corinthians and figure out the questions they were asking, we can figure out when he was responding and when he was reading and repeating what they asked. Next thing, also from Wiki. Put differently, if you assume Paul is the one who brought up a subject, you read Paul's response differently than when you assume Paul is just responding to a question. So if everything you read, you think these are Paul's words, then you can miss what is being said. So now I got you thinking with me. I hope you have your thinking caps on this morning. First thing we're going to do, we're going to go to the beginning of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1:1. I'm going to try to point out to you some places in it before we get to answering our questions. So 1 Corinthians 1:1.
Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes.
All right, so Paul was giving them a greeting. Oftentimes in the Pauline epistles, you will see that he gives a greeting, and then he starts telling you why he is writing. Now, the brother Sosthenes, I'm not for sure, but he could have been the person that was in place in Corinth to help. Oh, but he could be somebody else. I forgot to give you all the information on that, but you can Google it if you want to know. All right, 1 Corinthians 1, 2.
To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours.
So he explains exactly what he's doing. I'm writing to the church of God in Corinth. Now, this is very interesting. This is a little bit off topic. But when Paul wrote to a city, he didn't write to Deliverance Temple or to True Vine or to Union Missionary Baptist. He wrote to the church of Muncie. So in his mind, all the churches should be on one accord. Even though you gather in different places, there ought to be a camaraderie. And we've lost that in this day and age because we're so territorial. It's about my church. Yes, I want you to give to your church and I want you to attend your church. But you should be able to fellowship with anybody that carries the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. And sometimes people have not yet found a church home, but they're yet Christians. You ought to be able to fellowship with people. It's about the church of God, the body of Christ. So when Paul wrote, he was saying, I'm going to write to all the Corinthians, all of them, everybody who is called on the name of the Lord, who have been called to be holy. And the reason why we have to bring that up is because Corinth was a coastal city. And whenever you have a coastal city, even back then, it was where all the nightlife was. It was where all things happened. It would have been like the Vegas of our day. Now, we have like Miami and L.A. and New York. All those are on coasts. But because of technology, you can have a place like Las Vegas that's inland and still can have what they call Sin City. Corinth was Sin City before Sin City. And so when people got saved, they had to totally transform their whole culture, their whole culture of thinking. So Paul said, I got y'all saved, but there's some stuff y'all need to go on and understand. And I do need you to understand, salvation is great, but you want to grow up in God. Because you can be saved and still full of mess and junk unless you grow up. So you need somebody to train you. You need somebody to feed you. You need somebody to correct you. It's not my job just to tickle your ears. It's also my job to preach correction and preach instruction. Because some of y'all saved, but you're foolish. Some of y'all saved, but you're evil. You need somebody to get right in your face and tell you when you're doing wrong. And a real disciple of Jesus Christ doesn't mind being told something that's going to cause them to grow. Amen. So when Paul begins to lay out 1 Corinthians, after he's left, he begins to address all kinds of stuff. And that church has some rough stuff going on in it, if you read. So before I go, we're going to jump down to to 1 Corinthians 7. But before I do that, in 1 Corinthians 5, there was a man in the church, one of the churches, who was having sexual relationships with his stepmother. And he was bragging about it to the other people in the church. And nobody had done anything about it. And Paul wrote them, is like, what is you doing? Have you ever had to tell somebody, you can't even use good grammar, what is you doing? When I'm saved by grace, I understand you saved by grace, but you acting a fool. Some stuff, Paul says, some stuff should not even be named among you. There should be some stuff, because you say you belong to Christ, there should be some stuff you don't even get mixed up in. I don't have a rule book to tell you where you should go, but some stuff you shouldn't be mixed up in. Pastor, me and my wife wants to go down to the swingers bar. Hold on. Some stuff you should not be mixing. Some stuff doesn't belong and it doesn't mix with Christianity. And Paul was saying, if I got to tell you this, you're not as strong as I think you are. And I know you come to church and I know you love God and I know you give in the offering bucket, but there's some stuff you just got to let go. It doesn't look good to be a Christian and to be acting like that. It doesn't look good. I know you're saved. I know you're going to heaven. I ain't talking about that. But what I'm saying is you shouldn't look like hell trying to get to heaven. One preacher said it this way. He said, I won't tell you smoking is a sin. The Bible don't tell you smoking is a sin. I won't tell you smoking is going to send you to hell, but it'll make you smell like you already been there, all the smoke you've been smoking. Some stuff you have to always remember, God saved me to help somebody else. I'm blessed to be a blessing. So the more I grow, it causes my light to shine. So some stuff I just can't do. Not that it'll cost me my salvation. It's just not a good witness. I'm not against saints drinking alcohol. I'm not against it. I was delivered from it, so it was about 23 years before I ever took an alcoholic drink. In 2017, 2018, I have drank more casually than I ever have in my life, and that means 4 in a year. I mean, when I say drink casually, I'm not talking about all the time, but it didn't cost me my salvation. I can handle it. But there's some stuff I would never do in front of you. You wouldn't know it unless I told you, because it's just not a good look. The Bible says you have to abstain from the appearance of evil. So because I have people who are coming out of addictions, there's some stuff that just isn't a good look. I want to be just kind of real this morning. So I'm married. Y'all know I'm married. Been married 18 years. It'll be 19 in March. If I want to go into Cirilla's, the sex shop, I can do that. I'm grown and I'm married. But if somebody sees Pastor coming out of there, it's not a good look. It's not that I can't do it. It's not that it's sin. But because people are watching me, some stuff you do for the sake of your fellow man. Never use your freedom and your liberty and cause it to hurt somebody else. So 1 Corinthians is a good book to read, because he was trying to preach to them. He said, I understand y'all coming out of a crazy culture, but you got saved for a reason. You came to God for a reason. Don't run back to what you came out of. this is what not where I wanted to go, but let me throw this in. When I was in school in Camp Crosley, everybody was on the edge of the dock. Now, I didn't know how to swim, but everybody was on the edge of the dock, and they went off the dock, and they came back up. I assumed they was touching the bottom because they would go down and come right back up. And so I walked off the edge of the dock and didn't know it was 8 foot. And I kept going down, down, and I start swinging. And then somebody grabbed my hand and they helped pull me up. Funny thing, it was one of the kids I didn't even like. Sometimes God will use somebody you don't like. And I got up and they was like, "You can't swim." I was like, "No, I thought you could touch the bottom." And then I went to my cabin. They said, "No, you can stay out here." I said, "Listen, I'm going where it's safe." They was like, "You don't have to. You can just stand." I said, "I'm going to my cabin." When you get snatched out of stuff, some stuff you don't want to play with. I don't want to get close to it. Let me go back to my cabin and be safe. And when God pulls you out of stuff, don't play with it. All right, that was just an appetizer. That was just thrown in there. Because we don't holler holiness and we talk about grace, some of y'all think just anything goes. You can do whatever you want, but some stuff you will pay dearly for. So remember that. So Paul was trying to work them through that. So he goes all the way through 1 Corinthians 1. And then when we get to 1 Corinthians 7:1. We then realize he's in a responsa because of the way he termed the way he sets it up. Read it.
"Now for the matters you wrote about."
All right, here, stop. He says, "Now for the matters you wrote about." So from 1 Corinthians 7 on, he's saying, "I'm responding to the things that you wrote about." And when he first starts it, it's laid out so easy because it has a semicolon and a quotation. So we know what they ask. What do they ask? Read.
"It is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman."
Paul was not saying it's good for a man. No, they were asking that question. The reason why they were asking that question is because they had come out of a crazy culture. And normally what happens when you come out of a crazy culture, sometimes what you do, you swing all the way to the extreme. That's why I don't like extreme Christians. They go all the way to extreme. You can't even drink a Sprite. God said don't have nothing strong with it. Don't get too extreme. But before they got real extreme, they asked the question to Paul. "Are you saying it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman? In other words, even if I'm married, is it not good?" And so Paul is answering their question. He first starts the question and then he responds. Let's look at verse 2.
"But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife. And each woman with her own husband."
He said, "Listen, sexual relationship is occurring. I ain't trying to stop that. But this is what you should do. You should have it with your own wife. And with your own husband." Which means the culture that they lived in, it was free. Whatever I felt like doing is what I should do. Once they got saved, they were like, "Maybe we can't do nothing." He said, "That's not what I'm saying. Just keep it in house. That's all I'm saying." And so let's read verse 1 Corinthians 6:16. I want to back up and show you something.
"Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh."
In their day, their religious practice came with temple prostitutes. So when you worship your God, it included and involved sexual relations outside of your spouse. That was a part of the worship. So when they switched to new worship, they're like, "Where the prostitutes at? We getting ready to have some church." And Paul was like, no, that's, we don't do that over here in holiness. Because whatever you do, now that you belong to Christ, whatever you do, you got to join Christ with whatever you do. So whatever you choose to do, now Christ is in you. So it was changing the way they thought. It's not so much about sin as it is my relationship with God. Yes, Sanaa Lathan looked good to me. And Halle Berry looked good to me. But Since Jesus gave me Devin, he knows when I've looked too long. Since Jesus gave Andre to Devin, he knows when she's looked at Idris Elba a little too long. Put your eyes back and refocus. Because I didn't save you to be with everybody. I saved you to be with the one I saved you to be with. And so what it is, it's about your relationship with God. Now, for those of you who are single, and you may struggle with the area of fornication, you're like, I can't seem to get that right. I don't want you to think about it as sin. I want you to think about it as unhealthy. It's not so much that it's going to cost you your salvation, but emotionally, it'll tear you up. There is no condom made that can protect your emotional heart. So you have to be careful. And you also have to remember, whatever I do, Jesus is coming with me. Because he is married to you. The Bible says he's married to the backslider. He will neither leave you nor forsake you. So when you want to smoke crack, you have to remember that you and Jesus got to smoke crack together, because he's not going to leave you. So at some point, you got to make up in your mind, God, I thank you for your grace, but there's some stuff I don't want to do anymore. And when you get good and say, you cry out to God and say, God, deliver me. And God help me, and you fast. Nobody has to tell you to fast. You go to God until you get your breakthrough. And when you come in the house of God and somebody say, tell God, thank you, you praise God, we almost have to shut you up. Because when somebody has been shown up, delivered by the hand of God, you can't stop them from praising. The reason why I preach the way I preach, because I've been delivered and set free. And he's still delivering me and setting me free. So Paul was working out. Let's look at verse 17.
But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit.
So this is the reason why he was saying what he was saying. So let's drop down to 1 Corinthians 8:1.
Now about food sacrificed to idols.
Now here's the problem that we have in Paul's writings. When he first started in 7, he said, now the matters you wrote me, this is the question you asked. This is my response. He keeps that going, but now it gets harder to figure out when he's addressing what they said and when he's saying what he's saying. So you can kind of pick it up. So here he says, now about food sacrificed to idols. So somebody asked them, what about food sacrificed to idols? The reason why they asked that, because in their previous culture, they sacrificed food to their idols. So basically what they're happening, they were switching from one religion to a new religion, and they're trying to figure it out. Now let me say this to you older Christians who've been saved all your life. Let folks some time to figure it out. Everybody that gets saved is not going to know it right away. Give them some space. Get out of their face and tell them everything going to send them to hell. Let them figure some stuff out. So the Corinthians, at least they were asking questions. What do we do? This is what we used to do, but how do we do it now? And so they asked the question about idols. Let's read the answer.
We know that we all possess knowledge, but knowledge puffs up, while love builds up.
So Paul starts responding to them and saying, listen, I understand you have knowledge in your old way, but I'm trying to teach you a new way, because knowledge will puff you up, but I'm going to show you the way of love. So he was just trying to work with them. Let's go to verse 2.
Those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought to know.
Ah, here's so beautiful. What he was saying to them is, I appreciate you asking me these questions, because the people who think they know, they don't know. So here's the thing. You have to handle people. When somebody asks you a question, you handle them with some care and say, at least they're asking. Well, what is tithe? What is tithe? You don't know what tithe is? No, shut up. And just at least they're asking the question. Some people don't care. At least they care. And so Paul was happy. He was working with them. Let's move on. 1 Corinthians 10:1.
I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact.
I want to make a point of this. From 1 Corinthians 10 on, Paul keeps coming up with this statement. I don't want you to be ignorant. In other words, the reason why I'm taking my time and writing with you, remember, this is not the age of email, the age of telegram. They had to send mail before there was a mailman. They had to send it through ships. So this was some long conversation. But Paul said, I'm committed to this, because at the end of the day, I don't want you
ignorant. I don't want you without knowledge. I don't want you not understanding, because you're coming out of a mixed up, messed up culture and you're trying to live for God. So my desire is that you have understanding. And that's why when I come before you, I don't always hoop and holler and preach and tickle your ears. I don't want you ignorant. I don't want you walking out of those doors and not knowing how to live life. I want you to have some practical application. I want you to be able to apply your jicama side to your bills. I want you to be able to apply stuff to your real life. I want you to be able to know how to handle depression. And sometimes the best way to handle depression is find a qualified therapist. Everything's not going to be prayed over. Sometimes you need extra help, and it's okay. We have to stop acting like church is a place where we have it all together. No, we don't have it all together. We're working through this. Your pastor doesn't have it all together. Your bishop and apostle doesn't have it all together. Your elect lady and your first lady doesn't have it all together. We are in life together. We're working together. And the last thing we want is us to be ignorant. So that Paul said, that's why I'm talking to you the way I'm talking. I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact. Read.
Brothers and sisters.
No, hold on. I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact what?
Brothers and sisters.
I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact what?
Brothers and sisters.
So when he said that he was preaching to all the church in Corinth, he was talking to brothers and sisters, which means male and what? Female. All right, just want to throw that out there. Read some more.
That our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea.
He was giving them some history. Let's jump down to 1 Corinthians 11:1.
Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ.
Some stuff Paul said I can't answer. I can't write all this down. Some stuff, follow me as I follow Christ. There's some stuff that I can't answer everything for you. Some stuff you're just going to have to watch what I do and do what I do. And as long as I'm going after Christ and you following after me, you're going to be okay. I can't give you all the details. I can't tell you everything that's going on in my marriage. How'd you stay together 18 years? If I told you everything, you may not understand it. So just watch me. Follow me as I follow Christ. But the whole point of Corinthians is I'm trying to teach, and I'm trying to teach everybody. All right, let's move on. 1 Corinthians 12:1.
Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters.
What? The gifts of the what?
Spirit.
Who?
Brothers and sisters.
Which means male and what?
Female.
So all throughout this book, he's talking to male and female, answering their questions, brothers and sisters. So somebody had asked, what about the gifts of the Spirit? Because even though they had a crazy culture, they were a very spiritual church. The gifts of the Spirit were flowing. And so he said, now about the gifts of the Spirit, I read some more.
I do not want you to be uninformed.
I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant. I know you shout and dance every Sunday, but I want you to know what you're shouting and dancing about. I know you're speaking in tongues, but I want you to know why you're speaking in tongues. He said, I'm trying to inform you, brothers and sisters. Don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be without knowledge. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you just going through the motions. All right, let's go to 14:1. So now we're going to drop all the way down to the chapter we were talking about.
Intelligibility in worship.
Now, this is not in the scripture. This is the heading that the NIV Bible gives. Intelligibility in worship. So 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the gifts of the Spirit. From 12 and 13, he begins to work through the gifts of the Spirit. In 13, he begins to say there was nothing greater than the act of charity and love. There is nothing spiritual that you can do that's above love. And so after he tied all that in together, he said, now I want to give you some order when it comes to your worship. All right, now read.
Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy.
He was reminding him, follow the way of love. It's okay to get caught up in the Spirit. It's okay to have a good time in church, but follow the way of love. But I also would like you to think about prophecy. Think about something that would benefit. Let's look at the next verse. Verse 2.
For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit.
He said, now in the church setting, it's okay to speak in tongues. It's okay. That's a gift of the Spirit. But he's like, we can't overdo that. Because if everybody is doing that, nobody can understand. And at the end of the day, we're always trying to be a witness to other people. So when people come in off the street and everybody's just, you're like, what is going on? So he said, I want you to have some order and structure to your worship. Some of the saints don't like the way I handle the ministry because I don't let you just release and do everything because everybody's not going to understand you the way we understand you. So I can't let you run around the church every single Sunday from 11 to 1. No, sit down and listen. Because while you're running, you might run out of here and be uninformed. I need you to sit down. You can't speak in tongues from the moment you walk in here to the moment you get done and not listen and hear anything. Because why did God give me a word to tell you if you're doing all the talking? So Paul said, I've got to set some order and some structure. We just can't do whatever makes us feel good. And this is the reason why, because when you come out of a crazy culture and you move into spirituality, sometimes the devil tricks you to make you feel emotions is spirituality. And sometimes the devil will anoint your emotions and you think you're having a good time in the Lord and it's nothing but your emotions. How do you know that? I know that because they told you 2 months ago your water is going to be cut off. And you've been speaking in tongues and praying over that bill, but you didn't go take no money to the water company. You can talk in tongues. You can sweat over it. You can pour oil over it. But if you don't take any M-O-N-E-Y to the bill place, your water is going to get cut off. The devil is busy. No, the devil is not busy. You're ignorant. And you're emotional. And Paul said, let me train you. I don't want a member who doesn't want training. Because we're training for reigning. You can't stand in high places without some training. I've had the privilege, and my father's had the privilege, to be in places of people of influence and presidents of colleges and mayors and different places, governors. You can't go there and talk in a whole bunch of tongues and stuff. Sometimes you just got to shut up and allow the Spirit of God to move through you. Sometimes the best thing you can do in a meeting is keep your mouth shut, but the Spirit of God will work. Everything that works in a church building doesn't work outside unless you know God is prompting you to do it. Well, when I see somebody in the grocery store, I pray for them right then. I open up the olive oil right on the shelf and I pray. But you got to pay for that olive oil. People don't understand that. You got to have some wisdom in what you do. So Paul was trying to give, which I'm going to give you a quick example. I got time for this. Back in the time when Katrina hit, one of my spiritual mentors, Creflo Dollar, was invited to the White House. And he said that he had a list of things that he wanted to bring up. Because one of the things that was happening is the people that they were calling refugees were ending in different cities. The refugees from Katrina, and a lot of them were landing in Atlanta. And he had some things he wanted the government to do. And so he had written them down. And after he wrote them down, he prayed over them and said, God, how do you want me to address it? And God told him, learn the vocabulary of silence. And he said, God, are you telling me I can't talk? He said, I'm getting invited to the White House. I'm getting ready to be in front of the president. And you're telling me I can't say a word. And God said, that's exactly what I'm telling you. But he went anyway. He was already scheduled to go. Bishop Jakes were there. Other couple bishops were there. They were actually asking, how can we help? And this is what you don't understand. Oftentimes, the government looks like they're against church. But when they get in trouble, they always come to prominent preachers. And they always find black preachers. Because can't nobody talk like a black preacher. All All preachers are good, but I want you to understand, even the government knows when something needs to move and shake, I need to find somebody. So they were at the table and people were talking. He said he didn't say a word. Got back to Atlanta a week later, and he said that was the most worthless meeting I've ever been in. I sat there, heard everybody talk. I had all these things I wanted to be done for Atlanta, and I didn't get to say nothing. I don't know why, God, you would have me do that. Then he said he got a call. He got a call from the governor of Georgia. And the governor of Georgia said, this beats all I've ever heard. And he's like, what are you talking about? He said, they said Dr. Dollar was so quiet in the meeting. He must be upset and mad about something. So give him everything he wants for Atlanta. To give him. He never opened his mouth, but God worked. And had he opened his mouth, he would have ruined what God was trying to do. Sometimes learn how to shut up. Let God work. So Paul was working through this. He was teaching. I'm going to get back to our question, but I'm trying to lay it out so you can understand. And the reason why I'm doing it, because I love the scriptures. I really love the scriptures. I love reading. I find stuff I've never seen. It's good. And I can't preach it all to you. You got to get in the scriptures for yourself and find some of this good stuff that's in the word of God. All right. We're going to drop down to verse 19.
But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue.
I don't mind having a good time in church. But he said, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words that will instruct others than to speak 10,000 in tongues. And what that really means is the most of your tongue talking, those of you who operate in that gift, should be done at home to you and God. Some people want to do it so they can be seen and they can be heard. And God says, in the church, shut up. Only when it's necessary, because what we want people to leave out of here and be able to do what God says do. Let's go to verse 20.
Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults.
You can understand Paul's heart. Paul said, brothers and sisters, stop thinking so small. He said, in regard to evil, in regard to the old culture, I want you to be ignorant to the old culture. But when it comes over to righteousness, you got to start thinking like an adult. You can't think like a baby Christian forever. If you were saved only 2 years, I understand it, but you've been saved 10 years now. Your thinking ought to elevate. And the major thing that I want to do in this church is raise the level of your thinking. My heart is the same as Paul. I want thinking Christians. I want thinking Christians. I want thinking Christians. I want people that Paul said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. I don't want Christians that always wear their emotions on their sleeve. And when I accidentally pass by them and shake somebody else's hand and don't shake their hand for the next 6 months, they think I don't like them. I don't need baby saints occupying the seats. I want people who think as an adult. And the adult says, oh, he didn't see me. I know he loves me. By the way he preaches to me, I know he loves me. He don't have to call me. He don't have to hug me. He don't have to shake my hand. All I need him to do is to feed me the word of God, because I am an adult in my thinking. I'm not overly emotional. I don't come to church for somebody to stroke my ego. I come to praise God, and I come to give God glory and hear a word of God. And if don't nobody hug me and don't nobody shake my hand, I still have a good time, because in my thinking, I am an adult. And so Paul was working with that Corinthian church, and he was like, man, I wish y'all would grow up. Verse 26. This is another heading, this first part.
Good order in worship.
It's not in the actual scriptures, it's just NIV's heading. And read.
What then shall we say, brothers and sisters?
Now remember, now listen. Over and over you hear brothers and sisters. Read some more.
When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up.
We can stop and go home right here. Because it says, brother and sisters, when you come together, everybody's got a song. Everybody got a word. Everybody has instruction. Everybody has a revelation. So, yes, women can talk in church. We can stop right there. But there's a problem. This version says, brothers and sisters. If you go back to the King James, let's look at the King James 14:26.
How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a song, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying.
Problem we have is the King James says brethren only. The other versions say brothers and sisters. So now we're stuck. If you're dealing with a person that only believes the King James Version, where there are people that only believe you can read from the King James Version, if you're talking to somebody who only believes that, now you're stuck. Possibly. Let's put up point number three. Even with an old translation like KJV, clues are there if you search. I can take the same thing they read and prove to you the Bible didn't want women to be silent in church. And I'm going to do it. I got just enough time to finish it out and do it. First thing I'm going to do, this only scripture I'm going to tell you outside of Corinthians, Proverbs 25:2, read that.
It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter.
Why does God sometimes allow stuff to be confusing in the scripture? Because God wants to know it's only honorable people that'll dig and search something out. When you begin to think like an adult, you're also thinking like a king. And you go into the scriptures and say, I'm going to dig it out. God gave me a word as a woman. And I believe that God wants me at some point to share and open my mouth. But this says I can't do it. So I'm getting ready to search it out. I'm going to pray before you, God. I'm going to fast. I'm going to get in the scriptures. Because it's honorable for me to dig and search a thing out. When you find a treasure, you dig for it. Don't just take surface. Dig for it. All right. Y'all quiet. And I love it. That means I'm teaching good. 1 Corinthians 14:33. We're going to go back to our original thing in the King James Version. And we're going to read.
For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints.
34.
Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law.
Remember, I walked you all the way through Corinthians, and I walked you in many places and said that sometimes Paul was responding to what they said, and he was just trying to keep them from being ignorant. So why in the middle of all this would he stop and say, women be silent? So let's read 35.
And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church.
I believe verse 34 and verse 35 was the question that the men of Corinth asked Paul. And so what we see in the next verse is his response. Because if it's not, his next verse makes absolutely no sense. Let's go to verse 36.
What?
Stop. What? That's like me saying the sky is blue. What? Why would I say one thing and turn around in the next thing question and say what? This is what happened. They asked the question. And when they asked the question, Paul said, what? Have I been teaching you this long and you come to ask me, do women supposed to be silent and only talk to them husbands? What? This will help you. Go to that next picture I have up. This is what Paul was saying. Really? After all God has done and how God has raised people up, do you think he really got this far and wants to silence women? Really? Go back to the verse. What?
Came the word of God.
No, hold on, hold on. What? Now this is how he responds.
Came the word of God out from you.
Did the word of God come from you, men only?
Or came it unto you only?
Did it originate with you only? Did it come to you only? What? Next verse.
If any man think himself to be a prophet, or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord.
All along, Paul kept saying, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant. But when he got to this question, he kind of got ticked off. He's like, what? And then he said, if any of y'all are so deep, y'all so spiritual, I want you to figure out what I tell you next. This is what I want you to understand. It's the commandment of the Lord. I ain't got time to explain this to you. If you've got this far and you think women ought to be quiet, this is what I want to tell you next. Look at the next verse.
But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant.
The whole time he said, I don't want you ignorant. I don't want you uninformed. But he said, man, if you're that ignorant, just be ignorant. I ain't got time to go through all that. If you come this far and think that your salvation can only come through a man, if you want to be that ignorant, stay ignorant. Paul had got so fed up with the question, he was just like, what? Did the word of God come only to men? Did it originate only with men? Don't you remember that Mary was the one at the tomb? Don't you remember the woman at the well who ran and told everything about Jesus? Don't you understand, if it wasn't for Moses' mama pushing him down the river, what? Are you crazy? If you're going to be ignorant, just stay ignorant. I ain't got nothing else to write. That's basically what he was saying. But if you don't understand, you read that scripture and you think Paul was saying women should be silent, but they were asking him the question and he was saying, what? Next verse. Closing from here.
So then, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in other tongues.
After he said that, he went back and said, my brothers and sisters, keep doing what you're doing. Next verse.
But everything is to be done decently and in order.
The only thing I'm saying is everything should be done decently and in order. So for years, people have made women feel, I know we didn't do it in the church, but I want you to show you how scripture can get twisted up. But I also want you to show you, if you can dig and if you can study, you can answer the very thing right in the exact same text. But it takes some digging. It takes some understanding. And guess what? Your lawyer is here to lay it out for you. And so as I close, let me say, woman, that you feel something stirring up in your spirit, don't let anybody silence you. Don't let anybody hush you. God can anoint you as well as he can anoint a man. That's why I'm happy my wife is preaching this week, because we are one, but God can anoint me and God can anoint her. In God, there is no male, there is no female, there's no bond, there's no free, there's no Greek, there's no Jew, there's no rich, there's no poor, but everybody that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We all have the right, and I want you to understand now, because I am called to this place, everybody's not going to be preaching from this pulpit. This is what God called me to do. And more than likely, I'm better at it than you. But that don't mean you can't grow into it. And that don't mean you can't start on your job and start preaching to people on your job. That don't mean you can't start giving testimonies in grocery stores. That don't mean you can't get on Facebook and tell somebody about the goodness of God. That don't mean you can't have a word in a Bible study. That doesn't mean you can't go to the hospitals and pray that God will turn things around. Don't you ever think there's not a place for you. If God has anointed you, can't nobody stop what God has put down in your spirit. Nobody can stop it. The devil can't stop it. The government can't stop it. The denomination can't stop it. What God has for you, it is for you. And the Bible supports it. And Paul supports it. And your pastors and your leaders support it. Go be great in what God has called you to be. Let's stand to our feet. Did the Bible really say that? Part 2.